This morning's scripture reading will come from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Well, I'll be reading from the New King James. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
It's a blessing to be here on this morning as we have been worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Hope, pray, and trust that you have had a good past week, that you will seek to have a good week this week. I do notice that you see 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15 and 16 up there. We will look at that, but I did have Brother Scott read Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Today I want us to start a few lessons on the Church of Christ. When we consider the body of Christ, we consider a very rare jewel. You think about rare jewels, and rare jewels are very expensive. They are hard to come by. They are rare. As a matter of fact, was doing some research on some gems and some jewels, and one of the things that the United States has established is what is called the American Gem Society, established in 1937. And the reason why is because they wanted to make sure that consumers were not being cheated when it came to buying expensive stones or gems. As I was considering that, I thought about how the Lord's church is a precious gem, a jewel, one of a kind. The scriptures is replete, is full of the idea, metaphors, and figures of gems and jewels. When we think about some rare jewels, it caused me to think about the Old Testament. If you will, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 28. In Exodus chapter 28, verses 15 through 21, as you're turning there, I'll make a comment. The scriptures, as using rare jewels, they're used to demonstrate and signify value, glory, beauty, and worth. One thing we know about God, God is about those things we just mentioned. Even when it came to the breastplate and the ephod of the high priest, God wanted to make sure that they were separate. They were separated. You knew the difference between the high priest and everyone else. When we consider some of the precious things that was on the breastplate, I want you to take notice of Exodus 28. We don't have time to look at verses 15 through verse number 21, but I want us to focus in on verse 17. 17 and following, where the Bible demonstrates, and you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row, then he goes through those precious stones. The second row, then he goes through those precious stones. Verse 19, the third row, he goes through those precious stones. And in the fourth row, verse 20, he goes through those precious stones. And all those stones had meaning. All those stones signified something. Signified glory. Signified beauty. Signified worth. As we're thinking about that, I want us to consider the virtuous woman. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. In Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 and following, we're not going to read all of that, of course, but I wanted you to just turn there, because here we see King Lemuel's mother, and he talks about that virtuous woman. We'll just look at verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. As I was doing some research and looking at the ruby, the value of the ruby, it is so rare. As a matter of fact, when we consider the rarity of the ruby, when you think about just a carat of a ruby, it's worth between $10,000 and $18,000. That's expensive. When you think about a 25-carat ruby, one was purchased in 2015 for $1 million. Great value. When you think about a ruby, it's so powerful. As a matter of fact, as I was looking at some things, if you will notice this, just hear this out. A ruby, it aids in the emotions. It's also known to increase integrity, devotion, and happiness. Here, we see that King Lemuel's mother tells him that a virtuous wife, a virtuous woman, her worth is far above that. We stop and we consider a ruby. I like this particular point as I was looking at some information. The trade data is not even available for a ruby. And when we consider a ruby, it is deemed to be very durable, but not as durable as a diamond. It's right underneath a diamond. Yet, when we consider the value of a ruby, it's more expensive than a diamond. Now think about that. Here, King Lemuel's mother says that a virtuous woman is far more valuable than a ruby. But we have more to say. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 15, Proverbs 8, verse number 11, here Solomon says that wisdom is more valuable than rubies. He also says that wisdom is better than rubies. We consider wisdom and think about the Lord's church, which was established by the wisdom of God. Already we have made a connection that since the Lord's church was established by wisdom, and wisdom far exceeds rubies, that means that the Lord's church today far exceeds rubies. We consider Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3, as we continue our perusal through God's great book divine, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord, those who were morally reverent, spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditated on his name. The New King James Version says in verse 17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, one day, or on the day that I make them my jewels. I make them my jewels. As I was pondering that and thinking about that, it caused me to think about John. Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through verse number 27, of course, we're not going to read all of that. However, when we consider these precious stones, here Jesus, as he is given information to the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord is speaking to John, and John is writing these precious words divine for us. Here we see in verse number 9, the bride of Christ, the bride of the Lamb. We know according to John 1 and verse 29 that Jesus is that Lamb. Here he's talking about the Lamb's wife, the one that came down from glory, as John is seeing this great vision. We also understand that the wife is the bride of Christ, according to Ephesians 5:22 through the end of the chapter. But notice the metaphors that are used in verses 11 and following. In verse number 11, notice, having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 12, also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, the 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. I present to you for your consideration that he is referring back to that old covenant, the patriarchal and the Mosaic system, and how those who are under that system, here we see them in glory. John is seeing this vision. Verse 14, here he turns his attention to those who are under the new covenant. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Friends, did you see that? And everything is covered from the patriarchal system, the Mosaic system, and those under the Christian dispensation. But friends, it gets better and better. Because we see in verse number 16, here God gives us a great image from a 3D perspective. When you understand 3D, man understands three dimensionals. Yet God is so good that he takes it even further. In verse number 16, notice what the Bible here says. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measures the city with the reed, which is a standard. 12,000 furlongs. Its length, its width, and heights are equal. Notice the three dimensional aspects that John is receiving from the angel of the Lord. You think about these 1,500 square miles each direction. This metaphoric idea that God is giving us is very powerful. For look at verse number 17 through 21. Then he measured its wall, and then he gives the measurements. We have the construction of its wall in verse number 18. And notice what the construction was of jasper. And the city was pure gold. Notice the stones that he's talking about, the figurative language. And we know it's figurative, for we know that the things that are of this earth, they're physical, but the things in heaven are eternal, they're spiritual. But then notice verse number 19, the foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, and he continues to go with all of the different stones that are represented here on earth to give us a great picture, the great beauty of heaven. But as I was considering these great words, and I thought about how God would use that figure all through the scriptures. And then he turns his attention to Malachi 3, and he says what he says about making them his jewels. I present to you for your consideration that these great gems and jewels are metaphors of the people of God who have lived the right life, and they're shining and they're beautiful as the people of God. Wow. The question is this: what are we doing today that we may be like those gems, those jewels, to shine forth and be beautiful and be bright like the people of God need to be? Turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, here Paul, in his powerful prayer to God for the church, he's so excited about the Lord's church. And the reason why is because of all spiritual blessings being in Christ. Because of the very foundation of Christ. Because of redemption found in his blood. Because we have been chosen in Christ. Because we have grace in Christ. He's excited because now Jew and Gentile are in Christ, and the middle wall of partition has been torn down, Ephesians 2, 11 through verse number 15. He's excited. And so he says, with great emotion in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, notice the location of God's family in heaven and earth is named. Friends, we can't be selfish to think that we're the only ones in Christ. We're the only ones in glory, if you will. Why? Because those who have died in Christ are waiting for that great day that they'll stand before Jesus Christ to hear those words, well done. And those who died even before Christ, whom the blood of Christ would be cleansing their sins on the cross. But then notice verse number 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be made strong with might. Notice where? Through his spirit. Where? In the inward man. Notice where the strengthening is going to take place. It's going to take place in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, reside in your hearts. Literally, Christ is in our hearts. But how? Through faith. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does Christ dwell in our hearts today? By the word of God. How does the Spirit dwell in our hearts today? By the word of God. How does God the Father dwell in our hearts today? By the word of God. When we have his word in our hearts and we're living and applying it to our lives, we are those gems for God. But then notice what he says. Being rooted and grounded in love. Notice the language that he uses here. Being rooted means to be deep rooted like a tree. You remember Psalm 1, verse number 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He goes in there and he talks about that tree that is planted by the rivers of water, receiving nourishment from the water. God is water. Jesus is water. The Spirit is water. Metaphorically speaking, we receive our nourishment from God. And the more nourishment we receive from God, the greater our roots go down into God himself, if you will. But then notice what he says. Rooted and grounded. The idea of grounded is a firm foundation, stable and secure. So not only are we rooted, but we're stable and we're secure. We're talking about the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6, as we quickly go there and come right back to Ephesians chapter 3, notice what he says in Colossians 2 and verse number 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Now notice, here Paul tells the Ephesian brethren, you're rooted and grounded. Here he tells the Colossian brethren that you're rooted and built up. So here we understand that one is digging deep into the soil of the Lord and he is stable, he's sure. But also one is digging deep and he's firm in the Lord, but he's shooting up. He's growing. And so here we see that God is making man again, some three dimensional, that we can go down deep, we can stand sure, and we can go up. Oh, the God of heaven is a great God. But back to Ephesians chapter 2, stay with me. Ephesians chapter 2, notice verse 17, the latter part, being rooted and grounded in love. I wish I had time to discuss 1 Corinthians 13. Wish I had time to talk about 1 John 5. Wish I had time to talk about John 13, 34 and 35. Friends, it's all about love when it comes to God, because God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8. You can't be with God unless you love. First, love God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. But then notice what he goes on to say in verse 18. Here, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, says something very powerful, worthy of our consideration. May be able to understand, comprehend with all the saints. That's all of us together. That's the church of Christ together. What is the width, the length, the depth, and the height? Here, Paul, by inspiration, takes us to a four-dimensional state. That's interesting. Here we understand that man, he looks at things from a three-dimensional way. And as I was doing some research, I was looking at four-dimensional movies and the theaters and how you're getting it from every single side. Here, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, he tells us how we ought to be growing in the love of God, in the love of Christ, and it's from every single side of us. Man looks at things from a three-dimensional state. Let's prove this. In the book of Luke, chapter 2. In Luke, chapter 2, we come across Jesus Christ. And verse number 52, stay with me. In Luke chapter 2, in verse number 52, as we are attempting to make argumentation and reasoning on being the Lord's people. In Luke chapter 2, in verse number 52, you remember Jesus subjected himself to his parents. But notice what the Bible says. And Jesus increased, notice, in wisdom and stature, and in favor, that's grace, with God and men. The world that we live in, especially as we see things going south, man doesn't mind growing in wisdom, but that's worldly wisdom. Man doesn't mind growing in stature, making sure that his body is all right. But man, some of them don't want to grow in favor with God. So they settle for man being three-dimensional. But Jesus was four-dimensional. Jesus grew in every area as man grows, but he took it even further. And this is the way he wants us to grow too. He wants us to grow in a four-dimensional way. He wants us to grow in favor with grace with God and in favor with grace with man. And so we stop and we consider these things as the Lord's church. Why is this so important? Because the church of Christ ought to be a people who are spiritual and social. People who ought to be able to identify with God and reach man. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came as he is pleasing God. He did the will of his Father and he reached out to man. And as he reached out to men, men gravitated to him, therefore becoming a four-dimensional being on the face of the earth. What should we be? There are some in our world today that are more concerned about being three-dimensional instead of four-dimensional. When we think about the Lord's church, the church of Christ, she is a rare jewel. And because she is a rare jewel, she's not going to be easily found. Most people, when you ask them about the Church of Christ, they don't know much about it. They do know one thing. Y'all are those people that don't use musical instruments. They do know that part. But truth be told, the Lord's church is richer than that. The Lord's church shines greater than that. The Lord's church has more to offer than that. The Lord's church is a gem. She's a jewel. She's worth everything. As a matter of fact, in some of those great parables that Jesus gave us, he talks about how when one went and he found a treasure and went and sold everything that he had and bought that field. Why? Because of the value of the kingdom of God. The church of Christ is very, very valuable. Why? Because she is the very body of Christ. Let me give you three reasons. Three reasons. Number one, the church is rare because she is one of a kind. There is not one like her. Just like there is not one like Evelyn Bonner, there is not one like the Church of Christ. And you could put your wife in there, hopefully. Can you? There are so many people that don't understand marriage that they can't put their wife in that category. But Christ can. Christ can put his church in that category. She's the only one of her kind. Here is the God of heaven that put on flesh, and he came down to establish a group of people that is just one of a kind. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, and he put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him which filleth all in all. The church is one of a kind. It is the fullness of Jesus Christ. When you consider Christ, you got to consider the church. You can't have one without the other. Oh, she is beautiful. She's rare. She takes on her husband's name. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16, put your seatbelts on, friends. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16, as Paul is saluting the Lord's church at Rome, he says this: salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Oh, friends, we take on our husband's name. We are royalty. The Lord's church is rare because she's royalty. She's precious. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9. Let me change the context just a little bit. Because when I was considering this, I wanted to make sure that it was a direct parallel, but it wasn't. The reason why we say this is because when you consider 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9, I believe that Peter is looking at the temple complex and he says that you are stones. You're solid. You're home right. But when you consider gems and you consider diamonds and you consider these precious stones, those stones are able for light to shine in them and light through them. But not the stones of 1 Peter 2, 9. Those are different type of stones. Those are stones that you can stack on top of one another. Isn't it interesting, as the Lord's people, we're supposed to be stacking on top of one another. This is why 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, we're the pillar and ground of the truth. Friends, the church of Christ is rare. Not too many people know about her. And we should not be ashamed of her. She's rare because she promotes growth and development. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And I'll tell you why I chose Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 through 5. Because in Philippians 2, 1 through 5, this requires great humility, Brother Royce. Notice these scriptures. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill ye my joy by being like-minded. The Lord's people ought to be a like-minded people, having the same love. There's so much division today. But if we have the same love, and that love comes from the Word of God, and the Word of God is the love of God, 1 John 5 and verse number 3, friends, we can't help but get along with each other. And even when we get out of sorts with one another, because we love God so much, we got to get each other right. And so here the Apostle Paul said, I want you to have the same love for one another. He says, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition, which is strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Can you imagine the Lord's people? A great people, a precious people. A shining people, a people who are willing to do this, esteem others better than themselves. But the world that we live in is totally different. I'm trying to push you down so I can go up. But here, the Lord's people, they're always trying to put each other first. I remember that old acronym, JOY. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You remember that? We used to say that all the time. We used to teach our children that. We ought to teach them that now. Let each verse number 4, of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's the mind that we ought to have, of esteeming others better than ourselves. And this is why the Lord's church is rare. This is why our marriages are different. This is why our relationships are different. This is why we pray for one another and with one another. This is why we esteem the doctrine of Christ so high. This is why we want to make sure that we're sticklers of the Word of God. There are some that say, well, I know the God's words say that, but we really don't have to be that strict when it comes to the Word of God. Yes, we do, because we have to be just as strict as God is. The church is rare. Why? Because she promotes growth and development. Number 2, the church shines because of Christ. Like precious jewels reflect and refract light. We reflect the beauty of Jesus Christ in our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Philippians 2, verse number 15. Friends, we shine as lights in the world, but we also refract light. We refract the blessing of Jesus in our lives, meaning that we bend the light in many directions to benefit those who are around us. God's word, it just doesn't come into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives as members of the Lord's people, but we meditate upon it. We ponder it. We chew the cud, if you will, and then as we go out, we spread it. We talk to others about it. We have a smile on our face when we're talking about the bride of Christ. There are many that can't smile when they're talking about their spouses, but you ought to be able to. Christ smiles when he thinks about the church. We should. We ought to be smiling when we think about the Lord's people. There are some people that they'll talk real bad about the church of Christ. But do you know when you're talking bad about the church of Christ, you're talking bad about the Christ? Why? Because they go hand in hand. I know this lesson here has convicted me, caused me to not talk so much. Sometimes we even think too much. We ought to think on those things that are high. We ought to watch our mouths when it comes to the precious gems and jewels and the shiny things of God. And we are the shiny things of God. We're jewels. We're worth a lot to God. That he was willing to give his son's life for us. We shine being as examples of humility, of righteousness, of truth to everyone who want to see it and hear it. In John 13, 34 and 35, we referred to it earlier, but look at it real quick. Love this passage. I know you do too. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus would say these great words. And of course, if Jesus said it, it had to be great. In John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Love is the epitome of emotions. Everything flows not only through love, but up to love. Why? Because God is love. Friends, if we can get to a point where we're trying to master love, we'll get the darkness out of the church. If you get the darkness out of the church, then those who are in darkness want to run to the light. It's like someone who has a flat tire on some FM road, some farm to market road. But as they're walking, they see a light. In their mind, they're thinking, somebody has to live there. Let me walk there. And as I walk there, I knock on the door. I have a flat. My spare is flat. Can you help me out? Well, yeah, I can help you out. But why did you come here? I saw the light. And so when people have problems in their lives, when people have bad marriages, when people have bad children, when people don't know what they need to do as it relates to wisdom, we as the people of God, as the church of Christ, ought to be the wisdom of God. We shine the light. And as we shine the light, men and women will run to it. Run to it. But they're only going to run to the light as we chip away the darkness out of our lives. We're doing it for the benefit of those who are in darkness. Friends, the church of Christ is a gem. It's a jewel. And no wonder Jesus would say, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Oh, the church of Christ. I love the church of Christ. You love the church of Christ? I hope you do. Because that's the only one you can fall in love with and be right with the Lord. See, the Lord ain't like some men out here. They got women everywhere. No, that's not the Lord. The Lord has one wife. The Lord doesn't have concubines. He doesn't have sanchas. He don't have side shots. He don't have those things. He has one wife and he's devoted to her. He loves her. He gave his life for her. And because of that, we ought to love that which Christ loves. Oh, friends, the church of Christ, a rare jewel. The church is a rare jewel. Point number three and final point. Because she will be escorted directly by the Lord himself to God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24. Oh, the church of Christ. She's a rare jewel. She's rare. No wonder when you go to different nations, you talk about the church of Christ. They don't know anything about the church. Oh, they know about denominationalism. They know about the Hindu religion. They know about Buddhism. They know about all of these other Eastern religions. But the Church of Christ is rare. And the reason why the Church of Christ is rare, because of the truth of God's word. It's not based upon our interpretation of the scriptures. It's based upon a right interpretation of the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24, notice what the Bible here says. Then comes the end, when he, talking about Christ, the first fruits of verse 23, delivers the kingdom. The kingdom is the church. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Colossians 1, verse number 13. To God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Friends, we're going to get escort service back to the Father. Friends, the Church of Christ, she's rare. God is not going to send Jesus to this world to escort everybody and anybody back to him. It's going to be those who have honed themselves in the word of God, those who have remained in the grace of God, those who depend upon the mercy of God, and those who are humble before God. Oh, friends, the church, she's rare. She's so rare, we ought to love her even more. She will serve God. Turn to Revelation 22. She's rare because when she gets to glory, she's going to serve God. In Revelation 22 and verse number 3, notice what the Bible there says. So powerful. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, that's us, that's those who have died before us, that's those who have died faithful to God, they're going to serve him, and they're they shall serve him. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve him in any capacity that he tells us to. Look at verse 4. They shall see his face. I don't know about you, but can you imagine a created being never seeing the face of God? Can you imagine that? For the Bible demonstrates to us that we're going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer. And then after that, those faithful ones are going to be taken to God. Can you imagine not ever seeing the Creator, the God of heaven? Friends, we're going to see the face of God. Why would God put that there? Because it's a privilege and an honor and a glory to see God himself. Brother Royce, that's a privilege. And everybody doesn't get that privilege. If you're a member of the Lord's church right now, stay faithful and you'll see God's face one day. Verse number 5, notice, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. The Lord's church is rare. The people of God are rare. Drop down to verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 14. In verse number 14, notice, we're going to receive something that was lost by Adam. Blessed are those who do his commandments in order that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gate into the city. Friends, did you get that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, how are we going to get into the gate? We got to go through the tree of life. What Adam lost, Jesus Christ came and we got it back. All because of Christ. Last but not least, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride, which is the church, says, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. Isn't it amazing that God is the water of life? He's the fountain of life. Jesus Christ came and gave us the fountain of life, which is the Word. The Holy Spirit came and gave us the fountain of life, which is the Word. And here we're able to read the waters of life, which is the Word. And then when we get to glory, the church of our Lord on earth will experience the waters of life forever. We'll hear God's Word all the time. Can you imagine listening to God all day long? Can you imagine that? The image that God gives us of being rare. How rare are we? Maybe you haven't been a rare spouse. Maybe you haven't been rare children. Maybe you haven't been rare children of God. Maybe you haven't been a rare employee. Maybe you haven't been a rare employer. Maybe you haven't been a rare Christian. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? Maybe we haven't been setting ourselves apart. As the Church of Christ, we're rare. And the world is relying upon us. Listen, friends, they're relying upon us to pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. They're relying upon us to pray for them. For God doesn't hear sinners. John 9 and verse 31. So who comes before God on behalf of those who are outside of Christ? The rare ones. The Christians. Members of the Lord's church. Friends, do you know how rare you are? Hopefully we are living the rare life. Because we are precious jewels. We're worth something. We're very valuable. And let no one tell you that you're not. You're valuable because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The purchase possession and the purchase price, which is the blood, are of equal value. That's how important we are. Are you a member of the Church of Christ? Let me tell you something real quick. Something that no other group can claim. If you want to be in Christ, you have to obey the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ in the kingdom of God. If you want to be a member of the rare Church of Christ, you have to obey the gospel. And you obey the gospel by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some people got that down. By repenting of your sins, by confessing Jesus Christ to be Lord, but by being buried in water, that's where many separate. Because they don't believe that you have to be baptized in order to have your sins washed away. I can just believe on Jesus in my heart and I'll be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized. But my pastor said, my reverend said, the father said. But we're not listening to them. We're listening to Jesus. We listen to Jesus. And the reason why we listen to Jesus, because he is the rare one that came down from heaven and established this rare church named the Church of Christ. We're not ashamed of that. You want to be a part of that? You want to be rare? You want to go up? I've said this before. I'll say it again. In order to go up, you got to get in. Galatians 3, 26, 27. You're all the sons of God by faith. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In order for you to go up, you got to get in. You don't get in, you don't go up. It's an easy syllogism. We want to go up. We got to get in, but we got to stay in. We got some that have gotten in, but they've left the faith. They've come in, but they've left the Lord. They come in and they were shining at one time, but now they're dull, they're dark. When you get in, keep chipping away. Keep chipping away at that old man. Keep that gem and that jewel shining. Because the last thing you want is to be a cubic zirconian on the day of judgment. That's the last thing you want to be. You want to be a rare gem as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.